Today we celebrate the feast of Corpus Christi, of the most holy body and blood of our Lord. Traditionally, this is placed on last Thursday, which thus would put it exactly 9 weeks after our celebration of Holy Thursday, when we celebrated our Lord's institution of the Eucharist. From that time onward, through this wondrous sacrament that he created, he enabled us to make present his one perfect sacrifice, for himself to nourish us with his own body and blood, and for him to be present with us throughout our journey through life. One of the traditions on Corpus Christi is a Eucharistic procession. As about 8 years ago, Pope John Paul II wrote, "Our faith in our Lord who gives himself in this way, it is needed to show it, especially in our streets and in our homes, praising him for his gift and presenting these blessings to so many around us." And so this Mass will conclude with a short Eucharistic procession, and you're all invited to join in, following our Lord as we process out the doors left through the parking lot. We'll turn around in front of Bartholomew House and come back. We won't actually go out into any public streets this time, but it's a start and a good participation in this tradition of this feast day. Where is my guest room? This is what our Lord Jesus directed the disciples to ask the master of the house that they found. Where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? For this most important event, when he would wash his disciples' feet and would institute the Eucharist and the priesthood and would feed his disciples with his own body and blood, and would join that ritual meal together with his passion and death on the cross. For this most important event, our Lord wanted to be welcomed as a guest. And what a fitting connection this is to the emphasis that we hear in our readings, in this particular Corpus Christi, upon the new covenant. What is a covenant? We can begin by saying that it is a kind of contract, two parties agreeing on what they're going to do or not do for each other in a sort of exchange. Even in our legal system, a covenant suggests something more serious or enduring than your average contract. And when we turn to the scriptures, we find that there a covenant goes even further, that it establishes an ongoing relationship between the parties, often forging something like a family tie between them from then on. And we can trace the many covenants made by the Lord through the scriptures. Covenants with Adam, with Noah, with Abraham, with Moses, with David, and finally, the new covenant established by our Lord Jesus Christ. Who the people are that our Lord is making the covenant with keeps growing larger, eventually seeking to encompass the entire world within his church. And the kind of relationship that he is establishing also keeps growing closer as we progress through those covenants in salvation history. In our first reading today, we heard about the ratification of the Lord's covenant with Moses and the people of Israel. Now, on the Lord's side, he had rescued them from Egypt, and he would protect and provide for them. On the people's side, as they say, all that the Lord has said, we will heed and do. He expects from them faithful, exclusive worship, not going after false gods, and he expects them to be like him, to be just as he is just, to be merciful as he is merciful, and so on, as he lays out in the laws of the covenant that he establishes with them. And in the ratification of this covenant, as we heard in that reading, there was a blood ritual that was central to the ratification. The blood of young bulls was poured out, half upon the altar in sacrifice to the Lord, the other half sprinkled upon the people making covenant with him. Why was that? Why this use of blood? First, it certainly signals that something deliberate and serious is going on. This is no mere casual exchange. It also may symbolize the curses connected to not fulfilling the covenant, as if the participants are saying, if I do not live up to my side of the agreement, may this happen to me. The blood also serves to purify and cleanse, as we heard about in our second reading. And the blood also could be used to consecrate person or persons to special holy service, as we read that it also was used in the consecration of the priests of Israel and of their altars. And this sprinkling of blood, as well as pouring it upon the altar, was a sort of way of the people sharing a meal with the Lord, as in some of their sacrifices, some parts of the animal would be burnt up for the Lord, while other parts were cooked and eaten by those making the sacrifice in a sort of shared meal. But the blood, the life, was never drunk, because the blood belonged completely to the Lord. And so this sprinkling of blood upon the people is the closest that they could come to sharing in the same way as the flesh of a sacrifice. And yet, for all those reasons that I just laid out, I still think this use of blood in the first reading remains a little mysterious. After all, it is the blood of an animal that in and of itself has nothing to do with the covenant. And yet, for some reason, its blood is given this central role. So that was the solemn making of that covenant. And how did they do it, living it out, those two parties? Well, the Lord was completely faithful. The people, not so faithful. Again and again over the centuries, the prophets called them back to fidelity to the covenant. Year after year, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would, as it were, patch up and renew the covenant. He would again take blood of bulls and of goats, and he would sprinkle the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the tablets of the covenant, and the jar of manna, and the staff of Aaron, all tokens of the Lord's faithfulness. And also, he would pour out upon the altar. And yet, the people never did a very good job of living out their part of the covenant. And the Lord began to tell them that a new covenant was coming. A covenant that would be stronger and deeper than the one he had made with them at Mount Sinai. Through the prophet Ezekiel, he promised a new heart and a new spirit. Through the prophet Joel, that he would pour out his spirit upon all mankind. Through Jeremiah, that he would write his law upon their hearts, and that all would know him. That new covenant was made by our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, at last, the meaning and importance of the blood became clear. For our Lord Jesus was not some random animal with no connection to the covenant. Rather, he is the mediator of the new covenant, the perfect mediator between God and man, being himself both true God and true man, knowing our weaknesses intimately, knowing the Father intimately, the perfect mediator. And he himself had fulfilled the old covenant perfectly in his life. And in his death, he had made satisfaction for all the transgressions under the first covenant, as our second reading tells us. And his blood was given not merely to be sprinkled upon us, but to be given to us this time to drink. For this was no blood of an animal, but it is the very life of the God-man, freely poured out by him for us, so that we might share in his divine life. As St. Peter writes, it is with the precious blood of Christ that you have been ransomed from your futile conduct. As St. Paul writes, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified. What our Lord offers on his side of this new covenant is amazing. Rebirth, union with him, adoption into his sonship, the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, communion with the Father. Real change, real healing, real transformation. By the sacrifice of His own body, Christ has made us His mystical body, the church. By pouring out His own blood, He has made us participants, sharers in His divine life. And what is our part in this new covenant? To receive that gift, to respond, to cooperate, so that like St. Paul, we may say, "The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." And sometimes that can be the hardest thing of all, to empty our hands and receive that gift. "Where is my guest room?" our Lord asks. Who will receive Him, making room for Him in their own heart? Our Lord has made this new and eternal covenant in His own blood, which He makes present at this and every Mass, to nourish, to cleanse, to consecrate, to share His life. May we renew our acceptance of His covenant this day, truly receiving Him, welcoming Him to the guest room He seeks, our own hearts.